1 Peter chapter 3. The title of the message this evening is The Reason. The Reason. Look beginning with verse 15. Here we read, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit." Now, I want to answer two questions this evening. The first question is this: what is the believer's hope? What is my hope? And the second question, what's the reason? What's the reason for that hope? What is my hope, and what is the reason for that hope? Peter starts out, he says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, you'll notice he doesn't say, "Let Jesus into your heart," which is a common saying in our time. He says, "Sanctify." Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. We proclaim and declare that He is holy, that He is absolutely holy. That's the same message Isaiah cried. Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory." David said this. He said, "He hath sent redemption to His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name." No man's name is reverent. His name. Holy and reverent is His name. In Revelation, we read this: "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." He is eternally holy. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Declare Him to be holy. And as He is, He's worthy. As such, He is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. He and He alone. We praise Him and we give thanks for His works in creation, in providence, in redemption, and in His sovereign grace. Back in our text, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What led me to this text was over a month ago, one of our young ones was approached at school about what do you believe? Where do you go to church? And you know, that's a tough question for an adult or us grown ups, let alone for a young one. And I began looking at this text and this question: what is our hope? What is our hope? You know, I hear people talk about their experience. People will talk about an experience. They'll talk about how the preacher stood up there and preached, and then while the fellow on the organ was playing softly and tenderly "Jesus is Calling," they walked up front and they shook hands with the preacher, and that was their experience. They talk about an experience. I've heard people talk about at a funeral service. A man will stand up and he'll say a few things. And then he'll have everybody bow their head. And then say, if you don't want to see the outcome this fellow had, you raise your hand. Don't anybody look, just raise your hand. And it come to my attention, the fellow that's saying that, he's always watching, isn't he? He's always looking so he can get a count and turn in some numbers at the end of the month. Those are experiences, and those all deal with something man's done or man's doing. That's not a hope. That's not a good hope. That's not a sure hope. Jeremiah, turn over to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9. Look, beginning with verse 23 of Jeremiah 9. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Is your hope in something that you've accomplished, something you've done, something you've not done? Are you a wise man, a rich man, a powerful man? David said this. He said, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, look at verse, beginning with verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, who your family is or your bloodline. If we want to trace our bloodline, we can take it all the way back to Adam. That's whose blood is running through our veins. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. The natural man is enmity with God. Think about this. The scripture says there's a way that seems right unto man, and the ends thereof. Not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. The efforts of friends, the efforts of family, the efforts of so-called soul winners. Where were we? Born of God. Born of God. Now back to my question. What is my hope? Now that's not just like crossing your fingers and saying, I hope, I hope, I hope. This hope is an expectation. It's an expectation. And this hope is to be found in God's Word. Romans 15:4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Old Testament scriptures, New Testament scriptures alike. The believer's hope is found in God's Word. And listen, here's how it's described. It's sure and steadfast. It's certain. There's no question about it. It's a lively hope. It's described as a lively hope. It's a good hope through grace. So what is our hope? What is our expectation? Listen to just a few of these. The first is this. I have a hope. I have an expectation to hear this gospel and never be moved away from it. To hear this gospel, to believe this gospel, and to be never, ever moved away from it. Colossians 1, turn there with me to Colossians chapter 1. Look, beginning with verse 21 of Colossians 1. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, ground and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. He says, you've heard this, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The hope of the gospel which you have heard. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. They hear my voice. When he speaks, his people hear. He said this, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. I have a hope. The believer has a hope of hearing this gospel, believing this gospel, and never being moved from it. I have a hope of redemption and mercy. Over in Psalm 130, Aaron brought a message from this Sunday. Psalm 130, verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. God chose us in Christ. He chose his church, his people, his elect, true Israel, that it should be holy and without blame before him who is holy. And he did this before the foundation of the world. God the Son, as our surety, accomplished this in mercy to redeem his people. He in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. What did the scripture say? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Listen, it's a redemption that means something. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered and died on the cross for the sins of his people. He paid the redemption price, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own precious blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We have a hope of redemption. We have a hope of righteousness, of being righteous in the sight of God. You know, nothing is hid. Nothing is hid in God's sight. He sees everything, and yet his people are seen as we're made righteous. We're made righteous in his sight, innocent, holy, without sin, accepted of God. You know, that just kind of floats through the air, but for a sinner to be found holy, to be found righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Galatians 5 says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was made sin. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not by our works. Our works at best are filthy rags in the sight of God. Not by our deeds. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Not by our obedience. But listen, we're clothed. Clothed in the very righteousness of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be loved by God, to be accepted by God, to be justified in the sight of God, we must be made righteous. We must be made righteous. It must be perfect. Perfect to be accepted. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We're made righteous. He didn't make us savable. He didn't enable us to be righteous by anything we've done. He's made us righteous. And therefore, we have good hope. We made righteous. I have a hope of salvation. A hope of salvation. David in Psalm 119, he said, I have hoped for thy salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ will deliver his people. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. We're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and someday from the very presence of sin. The disciples, they were astonished when our Lord told them. He said it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when they heard this, they looked at each other and they said, who then? Who then can be saved? And he looked at them. And our Lord said this. He said, with men. He said that directly the opposite of what's being broadcast across this country today. He said, with men, it's impossible. With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. What did Jonah say all the way back there in the Old Testament? Salvation is of the Lord. We have a hope of eternal life. Paul, writing to Titus, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Eternal life, to dwell forever with the Lord. And listen to this, it's promised. It's a promise. It's not a reward. It's not a wage. It's not something we earn. It's by his grace. And it's a promise of God. You know, we make promises. We make promises all the time. And I hope most of the time we make good on them. But how often? How often do we come up short on those promises? But this promise is a promise of God. And listen, it was promised before the world began. In eternity past, God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Our Lord said this, "This is life eternal, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We have a hope. We have an expectation of eternal life. Now, I told you, I had two questions. What is the believer's hope? We have a hope of hearing and believing the gospel, a hope of redemption, of righteousness, of salvation, of eternal life. Second, what's our reason? What's our reason for that hope? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What is the reason for our hope? A month or so ago, I was coming home from Columbus, and I was about an hour and a half from home, and my vehicle started acting up a little bit, and so I called Abby. I said, listen, I don't know if I'm going to make it home or not. I said, if you don't care, stay by the phone, and if I break down, I'll call you. And she said, I'll be right here by the phone. And I traveled about another hour, or about another half hour. I was about an hour from home, and the vehicle just completely died. I mean, it was, the lights went out. It was done. And I coasted off the road, and I immediately found myself in need. I immediately figured out I needed help. I needed someone to get me home. Wasn't really concerned about much of anything else. I just wanted to be home. And I called Abby, and before I could really even explain where I was, she said, I know where you are. She said, I'm on my way. And I just sat there in the Jeep. I just sat there and I waited. Now my hope, my expectation was that she would come rescue me. And when I was on the phone with her, she didn't say this. She didn't say, you know what? Why don't you show me how serious you are about getting home? Why don't you start walking toward the house, and I'll just pick you up wherever I meet you at. She didn't say that. She said, I'm on my way. You know, not once, not one time, and it was still hot then. It was still, the weather was still warm. Not once did I wonder or ask myself, will she be able to find me? That thought never once crossed my mind. Not once did I wonder, will she actually come and pick me up? That thought never entered my mind. I didn't sit there and think, well, you know, it's Friday. I wonder if I've been good enough this week that she'll come pick me up. That never entered into my mind one time. In fact, I was so confident as I sat there in that Jeep, I nearly fell asleep. My brother called me, and he said, what's going on? I said, well, I'm broke down. He said, well, do you want me to come pick you up? I said, no. No, Abby's coming to pick me up. I don't need anyone else to come pick me up. I said, she's on her way. I said, that's okay, but she's on her way. I didn't need a backup plan. I didn't need to count on anyone else but her. Now let me ask you, you've answered this question, I'm sure, already, you smart group. What was the reason for my hope? It was Abby, the one I love, the one that loves me, the one who said, I'm on my way, the one who said, I know right where you are. And not only did she come pick me up, I mentioned it was hot, she even had a big old glass of ice water for me. She just exceeded anything I could ever imagine. Now, if at the end of the service you come back and you tell me about your car breaking down sometime, you completely miss the point, right? The reason for my hope. What's the reason for the believer's hope? Isn't that what we're told? Be ready always to give a reason for the hope that's in you. My hope, my expectation is that I'm going to hear this gospel. I'm going to believe this gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed me. He saved me. I have a hope of eternal life. The reason is not found in anything that I've done or anything that I've not done. The reason is Christ and Christ alone. God the Father chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. It's Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. It's God that predestinated us to be adopted as His own children in Christ. We're accepted in Christ. We're sanctified by Him. We're redeemed by Him. We're made righteous in Him. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27 of Colossians 1. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reason for the hope that is in us, the reason for our hope is Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. You know, that's the only way. That's the only, our hope is described as sure and steadfast. It's described as a good hope, a lively hope, a blessed hope. If it was anything apart from Christ, it couldn't be any of those things. Remember the old hymn writer, he wrote this, "My hope is built on nothing less." Could have said nothing more or nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That leper we read of in the Scriptures, he kneeled down before the Lord and he said unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord had compassion on him and he said, be thou clean. And he went out and he published it abroad and he told it so much, so many people, he couldn't even go back into the city. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't even enter back into the city. In Mark 7, we read of that deaf man that the Lord healed. And the more the Lord charged him to keep quiet about it, the Scriptures declare this, that the people, they heard it, they were just astonished beyond measure. How's that possible? Has it ever been heard of a blind man receiving his sight, of a deaf man getting his hearing back? Remember that man of the Gadarenes? There's that man of the Gadarenes, naked, out there running in the tombs. He couldn't be bound. And the Lord crosses his path. The Lord came to him, and he crosses his path. And we read, the next thing we read, they found this man seated at the feet of Jesus, and in his, he was clothed and in his right mind. How's that possible? The Lord Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. What do you reckon was the reason for his hope when he went out and the Lord told him, he said, You go tell what great things the Lord's done for you. You think he spoke of anything other than this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came and healed him? You know, the folks in that place, they were upset about it. How could anybody be upset about that? Think about that. Here's a man running among the tombs, naked, just has completely lost his mind, and now he's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his right mind, don't have to be bound anymore. And what did the people of that town want to do? They wanted him out of there. Depart from us. Not that man, that was. Huh? Oh, he had a good hope. That woman of Samaria, she wanted to talk. She wanted to talk about Jacob drinking from that well. She wanted to talk about the fathers worshiping there at that well, worshiping in the mountains. And the Lord dealt with her right there where she was. Revealed her sin to her. Revealed himself to her. And what did she do? She left her water pot there. She left it. She left it behind. And she went into the city and she said, "Come see a man which told me all things I ever did." What was the reason for her hope? She said this, "Is not this the Christ?" The reason for our hope. Turn back to 1 Peter. Look at verse 18. We'll just skip down to verse 18. The reason for our hope, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The reason for our hope, the one who loved me, the one who came to me, just like we've seen in all those, the Lord Jesus Christ came to each of them, right where they were. Just like that parable, that lost sheep. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, and he loses one, does he not leave the 99 and go after it? And he seeks it until he finds it. And when he finds it, he didn't put a collar around him and drag him home, did he? He didn't say, 'Follow me, sheep.' He reached down, and he picked it up, and he put it on his shoulders, and he carries it home. And when he gets home, he invites all of his friends over and says, 'Rejoice, rejoice with me. This one lost sheep.'" Who gets the glory in that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. Well, turn with me one more time back to Lamentation. Lamentation 3. We'll close with the reading of this scripture. Lamentations 3, verse 18. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." Well, we get hung up on our problems, don't we? He said, "I remember mine affliction and my misery." We get caught up in ourselves. We'll quickly find ourselves with no hope. "My soul hath him still in remembrance and is humbled into me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It's good. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." The reason for our hope, the reason for my hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Brother Mike.